Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Well, it's hard for most of us to imagine unrelenting nausea and vomiting for months and months. This is what is endured by women who are unlucky enough to get hyperemesis gravidarium, often known as extreme morning sickness or HG during pregnancy. But what can make the situation even more difficult is that one of the most effective treatments for that condition is hugely expensive and it's not covered under the state drugs payment system. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now by Trish Lynch, who suffered with HG and whose story features in the Irish Independent today, and also by Dr. Peter Boylan, former master of the National Maternity Hospital. And thank you both very much for joining us this evening. And Dr. Boylan, I might come to yourself first. You might just tell us a little bit about HG. Who does it affect and what does it involve?
Yes, hyperemesis gravidarum is a condition of relentless vomiting during pregnancy, and it usually settles around about 20 weeks, gets less until then and then settles completely. However, in a small minority of women, it can continue right throughout the pregnancy, and it can result in women not being able to function effectively, can't go to work, can't look after any children at home, and basically are just surviving from one episode of vomiting to the next. Now, there is what happens with these women, unfortunately, is that they're in and out of hospital for rehydration, and then they're discharged home when they're rehydrated and stopped vomiting, but then they come back again, and they're in and out sometimes for the entire pregnancy. The reassuring thing is that it doesn't affect the baby at all. The baby takes the food preferentially from the mother through the placenta and the umbilical cord. So it doesn't affect the babies, but it can be absolutely miserable and awful for the women and have a huge impact on the on their lives during the course of the pregnancy.
There is indeed, what you're describing there is it sounds very distressing, and I imagine it might impact on a woman's mental health as well as their physical health.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's an awful position to be in, to be just vomiting and nauseated from morning till night. And morning sickness is really a misnomer for most women when they are sick during pregnancy. It's not just during the morning. It can last throughout the day, or it can have its onset in the evening or in the middle of the day or whatever. So it's right throughout. And for the women with hyperemesis gravidarum, it's basically constant throughout the day. And yes, it can affect their mental health. You can imagine how awful it is.
Hmm. Can you talk to me then about the treatment? Because there is a treatment available.
Yes, there's a drug called Caraban, which has been around for years and which is extremely safe. It has no effect at all on the baby, on the development of the baby. And it's very helpful in suppressing the symptoms of nausea and vomiting. However, it is expensive and it's not reimbursed through the government reimbursement, the HSE reimbursement scheme. Which is a shame, really, because the condition is not very common, but the impact, both emotionally, psychologically, from a physical point of view, and financially, can be quite severe because of the cost of the drug. And inevitably, of course, it's the women who are most vulnerable, those without the resources to be able to finance the drugs throughout the pregnancy, who will suffer the most. And there are a lot of drugs on the, there are hundreds of drugs on the drug reimbursement scheme, including Viagra. Now, I think if men were to get pregnant, I don't think there'd be the slightest bother with putting Caraban on the drug reimbursement scheme. Mm. And unfortunately, the only way that's going to happen, I think, is through lobbying and continued pressure. And of course, the media have a big role to play in this and a very positive role to play in bringing attention to a wider audience about the impact of this awful condition, which really, as I say, only affects a small minority of women during pregnancy. But those it does affect, it's absolutely devastating. And then as soon as they deliver the baby, it's like turning a switch. It just stops.
Mm.
So that's the one to look forward to, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I suppose indeed. If you might just stay with us, Dr. Boylan, if you don't mind, because we're joined, as I said, by Trish, who has gone through this condition during her pregnancy. And Trish, thank you very much for joining us this evening. You didn't even know HG existed before you got pregnant with your daughter Riley, who is now 2.5. Can you tell us when you first started getting symptoms?
Hi. It was pretty much immediately. Riley was a planned pregnancy, so I had done a pregnancy test the day my period was due, so I knew I was pregnant as soon as I could have. And a week after my pregnancy test, I had this unbelievable nausea, like 24 hours a day nausea, where the smell of food, the thought of food just made me want to get sick, but I wasn't actually vomiting just yet. And then I'd say by around 5-6 weeks, before I was even booked in with my hospital, I just started getting sick non-stop, night and day, no matter what I tried to eat, what I tried to drink, like even sips of water, I couldn't get down. And it took me 4 or 5 separate trips to my GP before the GP actually told me, you know, you need to go to hospital. Up until then, they just kept telling me it was regular morning sickness, go home, try crackers, try ginger. And it, like I said, I had to persist with my GP and insist, yeah, like, this can't be normal.
Well, certainly it doesn't sound normal. I believe you went 5 or 6 days without eating in one instance, and another time you slept by the toilet bowl for the entire night.
Yeah, I couldn't stop getting sick long enough to make it back to bed, so I brought my pillow to the bathroom and I slept on my ensuite floor so that I could just sit up, get sick and lie back down on my pillow again.
It sounds desperate, Trish, and especially so early in pregnancy as well, to be hit with that. You were prescribed Carabin then, and you went to the pharmacy to get it. And what happened then?
I got my prescription from the hospital, and it was really late at night, so it wasn't the hospital pharmacy I went to. It was a regular 24-hour pharmacy. Handed the prescription in, and I was thinking, at least everything will be fine now. I'll get this medication, I'll be on the road to recovery, and I'll be fine. Myself and the baby will be sorted. And then they called my name, went to the counter, and she was like, that'll be 80, I think it was €87. And I was like, how many months did they give me? And she was like, this is a 7-day script. And I thought, I have 33 more weeks, so how in the name of God am I going to keep this up for 30? I can't afford, like, I was out of work because I was so sick. And at the same time, my husband had lost his job, so there was physically no way I was going to be able to keep buying this medication. And there was no alternative. There was nothing. There's some nausea medication and things you can get that are a bit cheaper, but nowhere near effective as what Carabin is.
So you tried taking it, obviously, because you did get that first script at least. And did it help?
When I took it initially, as I was supposed to, the 4 tablets a day, absolutely, the vomiting. But in, I think, about 3 days, the vomiting did stop. The nausea never left me, but it was controlled enough that I could get food into my system. I could function enough that I could, you know, get up and maybe put some clothes in the washing machine. Like, it wasn't a cure by any means, but it was a million times better than what I was without it. And then, like I said, because of the cost of it, I tried to kind of spread my medication out and take 1 or 2 a day, which essentially just did nothing. It didn't, if you don't take it properly, it doesn't do anything for you.
So your financial circumstances then meant you couldn't keep paying for and taking the Carabin at the prescribed dose. Where did that leave you for the pregnancy?
I collected my prescription whenever I could, and if I couldn't collect it, I just had to go without. And then I went to a hospital visit and just a regular checkup, checking on the baby's measurements and things. And they told me she was measuring extremely small. That her abdomen was measuring below the 5th centile. I had lost about, I think, 12 or 13 kgs at this stage. And they were like, look, the two of you are basically starving. You need to be taking your tablets regularly. And I was like, I physically can't. I can't afford them. Like, there's nothing else I can do. And of course, I broke down because I thought, I'm harming my baby by this. Myself and my husband ended up giving up our rented house and moving into my mum and dad's spare room, so that I could actually afford to collect my prescription and take it as I was supposed to be taking it.
I'm so sorry. That sounds so stressful and upsetting, Trish. And I know by the end of the pregnancy, when you delivered Riley, you had lost 20 kilos.
Over 20 kilos, yeah.
And how are you now? As I was speaking to Dr. Boylan earlier, I was saying that the mental health of mothers can often suffer as well. How was your own mental health afterwards?
But mentally and physically, I'm still trying to recover from it. I'm actually back in Blanchardstown Hospital tomorrow to have another endoscope done. I actually have a hiatus hernia from the severe vomiting. The top part of my stomach is actually protruding into my esophagus because I vomited so violently for so long. I'm back with them now. I'm under a new surgeon now to see whether they're going to operate or, you know, what's the best way to get this fixed, to get me back to how I was. And since I had my daughter, I'm still under the mental health services. I'm still on prescribed medication trying to sort my mental health out. When Riley was born, I was hospitalised for, I was home for 6 weeks and then hospitalised for 6 weeks. And I was separated from her for that time. And by the time I got home and surgeries and separation and everything, the pregnancy that had happened, I was just broken mentally and physically. I literally just felt broken, and they say I still do.
Okay, well, Trish, thank you so much for talking to us this evening about your own situation. And Dr. Boyle, I might just come back to you for one last question in relation to this, because I know you mentioned Viagra being available as an example on the drugs payment system, but the HSE says the reason Caraban isn't available is because it's an unlicensed product at the moment. Do you accept that that's a good reason for it not to be available, or is there anything else that could be done around it?
Well, it's a sort of a bureaucratic reason. And it doesn't address the issue really from the women's point of view. And you heard from Trish there the effect that it can have way beyond a pregnancy indeed. So it's more to do with the bureaucracy surrounding the classification and the approval of drugs for use. There are many drugs which are used off license in the country and extremely safely. And one of the reasons why these things are given off license and safely and so on is that in order to do the trials, the clinical trials, it costs a huge amount of money from the pharmaceutical company's point of view. And they're not going to spend that money when the drug can be used off license safely. They're just not going to go through all that, basically that hassle. But it does mean, unfortunately, that it's difficult to get them approved for reimbursement. And you heard from Patricia the effect it can have. So, I mean, on humanitarian grounds alone, I think it should really be reimbursable.
All right. Well, thank you both very much for joining us this evening. That's Dr. Peter Boylan. And before that, we were speaking to Trish Lynch. We'll take a break.